As promised a number of weeks ago, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel has been out and about test driving some cars for us. This is something that we are going to continue to do, hopefully throughout the year. If you do want us to get inside a car, test it out for you, do all the homework so you don't have to, email techtalk@newstalk.com. Derek, what have you been driving this week?
I was lucky enough to be driving the Volkswagen ID4.
Now, I have seen pictures of this, and it's a good-looking car, and that's as someone who doesn't have a clue about cars.
Well, that's what you're the target market, Jess. Mm-hmm, if you think it's good-looking, we're all good. This is Volkswagen's fully electric SUV, which, as we all know, is the size of the market, size of car in the market that's growing the biggest. People aren't buying regular cars anymore, as in like a sedan or a regular hatchback. It's all people want to be up high, and they want that space in the back. So this is Volkswagen's global attempt at it. It's going to be manufactured in the US, Europe, and in China.
Okay, so we'll talk through the car in depth in just a minute. But having an SUV that's electric, I assume, like, is that a bit of a challenge from a battery point of view and ensuring that you get the range that you want? Or is it just the same, like it's just a bigger battery than what you'd have on, say, a hatchback?
Great question. What it means is you've more to play with. Because the batteries are kept in the floor, it just because it's a bigger vehicle means that you've a bigger space if you wanted to put a bigger battery into. So it's a benefit, number one. And number two, because it's an electric vehicle and the electric motor doesn't take up as much space as an engine, they can push the wheels out into the four corners. And so you have a lot more space internally than you would traditionally.
So if you car without knowing that it's an electric, you'd and if you're familiar with this style of car, I suppose you'd know by the layout and the area inside that it is an electric.
You'd go, oh god, this is very spacious, isn't it? Number one, there wouldn't be a transmission tunnel which goes from the front of the car all the way through the middle and through the into the back seats, which obviously brings the power to the rear wheels, etc. It's flat floor, so there's a couple of things and you'll go, oh, would you know it was electric? Maybe not if you weren't looking for it, but definitely it's bigger inside than it looks outside.
Yeah, because it is a neat car. Again, as someone who doesn't drive, when you look and when you hear about SUVs, you think that they're going to be big and cumbersome, but this does look, it just looks very neat. It looks like a nice car.
Yeah, if you're familiar, and some of our listeners will be familiar with the Volkswagen lineup. So it's outside, it's roughly the same size as a Tiguan, which would be their normal smallish size SUV, but inside it's as big as a Touareg. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. So it is, it's the best of both worlds. As you said, it's a big enough outside, but it's a lovely size inside.
Okay, so let's talk about the inside then, and we'll work our way from the inside out. When you sit into the car, do you have a very sort of futuristic dashboard? Do you have all the bells and whistles that we've spoken about previously?
Yeah, it is. It's coming with everything. Volkswagen are throwing a lot at this because it is a segment of the market that is the biggest and fastest growing. Young families want it. People that are active and want to do sports, they all want it because of the space in it. So it has a lot of gadgets. So I'm not sure where you want to start, but we can do driving, we can do assistant, we can do lights.
Let's start with the drive and work our way around.
Excellent. So we will, as we walk up to the car, you don't even have to take the key out to press it. And a lot of cars have this, but the door will just open as you get close to it. You don't even have to press the start button on some of the models for this because it senses the key on. You literally have to put it into drive, D for drive, press the pedal and away you go. It is very nice to get up and go into it. You're not looking for keys, pressing buttons, doing this, doing that. You literally just engage it into drive. And the gear selector is actually up on the stalk. Again, trying to remove that space. We don't have a traditional gear stick. So it is up on the, just behind the steering wheel.
That must mean it's very, like, again, because I haven't been inside the car, but when you sit in, do you just have oodles of space around you then? What is to your... I'm trying to think where you sit in a car. This is how bad I am. But to your side, where the gear stick normally is,
yes,
I mean...
Your left-hand side.
I nearly said right, so cringe for me. But on the left-hand side then, what do you have? Is it storage? How do they use that space?
Yeah, there is a central console. Some models don't, but this one does. And there's like lots of cubby holes in it. So there's a couple of USB Type-C chargers. There's, depending again on the model and the spec that you get on yours, there's a wireless charging space. There's like four cup holders. There's a cover that covers up everything if you've got any valuables that you want to leave in the car if you're popping into the shops. So there is a place there. They've utilized that centrally and it turns it into one. There's eat both seats also have armrests or captain's chairs, as we'd call them.
Oh, fabulous.
And then there's a 10 or 12 inch screen in the middle of the console, in the middle of the dash. And then behind the driver's steering wheel, there's a little driver information screen. It's a small one, and that moves. If you move the steering wheel up or down or in or out, it moves in the, it stays in the same position, so it's not attached to the dash.
Okay, so let's stay what's with the tech that's on the dashboard then. Talk us through what you're getting and if you can customize different aspects of it.
So with the ID.4, there's going to be seven different variations of it. So you can start off and just get into electric vehicles and bare bones. But even their bare bones version will have an element of spec that will be good for people. And then you can go all the way up to the top level, which is a beautiful heads-up display. And so what that means is there's a screen in the built into the dash that reflects onto the actual windscreen. This technology would have come from originally from fighter pilots with the little head-up display in their helmet. So as you're driving along, on the head-up display, you'll see your speed, you'll see some directions, and you'll also see if there's if you've got the adaptive cruise control, it'll show you whether it knows there's a vehicle in front or not, or whether you're in the right lane or not. So that heads-up display, technology-wise, and it sounds, oh, I wouldn't use that. Once you get in and once you see this thing, you're like, this is the future. This is the way it's going to go. And they've gone even one better, Jess, with augmented reality.
Oh, go on. How does that work?
What that works is it scans the road in front of it. So it knows where the road is and it knows the lines on it. And what it will do is it'll show you whether you're veering off your lane or not. It'll show you whether you're too close to the car in front of you. And this is all projected up into the windscreen. And a lot of people say, oh, would that not be distracting? But it's transparent enough not to be. But the coolest feature of the augmented reality is the satellite navigation and the directions. So what it will do is it will start as you're coming towards the junction that you have to turn left or have to turn right to get to your destination. These like three or four kind of translucent arrows kind of appear. And if they were in real world, they'd be about like 3 foot tall. So as you're getting closer to the junction, they appear to be getting bigger perspective-wise, a bit like Dougal and Father Ted, small and far away. But as you get closer, the system knows you're getting closer to the junction. So these augmented reality arrows will show you the turn that you're supposed to be taking.
Okay, I am into every single element of this because if the car is smarter than me, which wouldn't be difficult, but that just sounds like an ideal scenario. I would be one of those people. I wonder, is it distracting? But you sent me like a little video of it, and from what I've seen on the video, but also on YouTube as well, it is just, it's kind of like what the Google Glass was in that it's not something that's blocking your entire eye. It's just an extra layer, oh, like but before you see what's in real life, it's the augmented part, I suppose. You're just seeing a little layer that isn't distracting. It's there to help you, and the use of the AI as well is pretty clever. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
In terms of the screen that you mentioned to the left of the driver, so in the middle of the dashboard, is that your control hub? Is it all touchscreen? Are there dials? Are there buttons? What way do you interact with it?
It's either, we'll talk about voice in a minute, but the screen itself is touchscreen and it's all capacitive touch. So you can either press the plastic and it'll actually understand that you've pressed the button, or you can slide your finger up or down, be that for volume or be that to turn the temperature up or down. So you can interact with it physically by touch. And that's the same on the steering wheel. That's all capacitive touches buttons on it. So it'll make an audible click. And sometimes there's haptic motors in it to make it, again, like a smartphone. But another big feature of the Volkswagen ID.4 and a lot of the Volkswagen cars is their Volkswagen artificial intelligence or assistant, and they call it Hello ID or Hi ID.
And now, killer question, but does it work or is it a bit of a pain in the face?
It works. Yeah, not it. It's there's definitely there's learning from it. It may not have picked up on my dulcet Mayo tones
I
as
was going to
often as I
say,
would
because you
like.
Riley boys, now there's times when I'm sitting here either talking to you or John, and I have to get out my culty dictionary going, what are they talking about now? So how did the car cope?
Now, Yes, it's all about diversity, inclusion, and belonging now. And so what we need to do is just, let's not pick on the Mayo people. But joking aside, it worked the majority of times when I was up in the Dublin Mountains, when it didn't have its own signal to the internet. It wasn't able to function because I was asking it for directions, etc. But normally, and it's contextual as well, so it understands if I say the magic keyword, and then I say, because people that will have Volkswagens are currently driving around listening to us now, so we don't want to activate. So I'll say the magic keyword, and I'll say, I'm feeling cold. You literally just have to say that, and it will respond back to you saying, okay, I'm going to heat up the front right-hand side of the car. So it understands I'm the driver. It understands I'm on my own in the car, and it only needs to heat that element of the car. So not, rather than wasting hot air blowing around the whole place, you could say my hands are cold. You can say my feet are cold, and it will heat the steering wheel. It will blow hot air into the footwell. You can ask it for directions. You can ask it for the nearest charging points. So yeah, it's definitely getting there, and it's nice that it understands when you say you're cold that it wants to, or you're hot, or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I like that you can talk to it like a human being, in a conversational way, because some of the assistants that I've seen, not just in cars, but in loads of different applications of this technology, you have to order the words in a correct way so that it understands, rather than it, you know, it kind of tailoring to your life. You have to tailor how you're speaking to it, which it kind of gets in the way of it, because if you don't get the order right, then you end up having a row with a machine. So the fact that you can say, I'm cold, and it'll just cop on and do exactly what you want sounds ideal. When we are talking about all this technology, I know I've asked this question before when it comes to electric vehicles. Does it impact the battery much? And what is the battery life, and what is the range on this particular model?
So 77 kilowatt hour battery, but they will be bringing in a smaller battery on it as well. And so the range is around about real world. And I know that some manufacturers use this range and call the WLTP, which is a standardized range that they use for all manufacturers, but that is in a laboratory environment. And so using temperature differences and being altitude and up and down hills, etc. The real world range, and this is probably around 400, 420. They're going to claim higher than that, but that's, I'd rather give people the real world. Now, Jess, it's all very subjective. If you're just shooting around the town and you're not going crazy on the pedal, you'll get more. If you're on motorways, you'll get less. So it's very much the type of driving that you do. So battery wise, and your question then, does it affect the battery? No, these systems are all optimized so much, and it's not using a lot of energy for it to understand the question that you asked and to give you an answer. You're not like, the biggest things that are going to hurt the battery is your climate control, turning on that aircon. It's going to be driving at a high speed for a long period of time, like on a motorway. So stuff like that, and the outside temperature would affect it as well. But using stuff like the artificial intelligence or the voice assistant, no, not really.
And I sound like such a fool when I ask these questions, but in terms of charging, what are the cables that come with it? And are they the cables that are compatible with the Joe Soap average charger port that we see around the place?
Great question. So you're going to get two cables with it. You're going to get the emergency / backup cable, which has a 3-pin plug on it. So if you've got it, electric car like this, you usually have either your own home charger, or you'll also be able to go to public charging. If you haven't and you're visiting your friends down the country and they don't have a charger, you can plug in through a window or an outside socket, and that takes the longest because it's only rated to 2 or 3 kilowatts. But then you will have that type 2 charger, and you can plug that into the chargers that you see on the street. And then the big fast and rapid chargers, they have the cable built into themselves, so you don't need a cable for that. You literally just rock up and you can charge on it.
Oh, fab, that's very, very handy. In terms of the battery, where is it displayed? Is it kind of like a phone in that you have the little symbol on it, or is it like a normal fuel gauge where you'll see the percentage of your battery?
Very much like a phone. So a couple of ways you can display it. So on this model, and I'll come back to it now in a second, you have a thing called the ID light. So as in physically the light inside in the cabin. I'll cover that in a second. But to answer your question, what you'll get is on the display panel in front of the driver, you'll get a battery gauge, very much like a phone. You can display it like that, or you could display it as to how many kilometers or miles have I left. So what's the range left? So like on your laptop, you can say, okay, show me the battery as a physical indicator, or show me how long I've got left on it. So you can display it as to how you'd like it displayed. Then with this ID light, so the ID light is a strip of LEDs along with the windscreen. And this is a way of you understanding understanding, when you unlock the car, it'll flash up in a certain sequence to say, okay, the car is unlocked. And when you get in, then it kind of blinks and flashes to let you know that there's something there. And when you activate the keyword, it'll blink, it'll activate. So a little bit of the light will come on. And I sent you through some of this videos to show you what it looked like. And then when you're talking to it, it lights up in front of you. So it knows that the driver is talking to it. If Jess was sitting beside me in the passenger seat and you asked it a question, it would light up the section in front of you. So the full strip at the bottom of the windscreen is this one long LED. Another thing is when you're driving along at the satellite navigation and you, again, you may not have the augmented reality or the heads up display model. If you're supposed to turn right or left, the light will swoop left or right, trying to give you kind of a subtle indication as to which way you're supposed to be turning, along with the satellite navigation.
That's very clever.
Yeah, and it also, when you're charging it, and this is where I was getting to, it'll light up like a long green bar, and it, when it's fully charged, the bar will be full. When it's halfway, it'll be halfway, and you can see it as it's charging. So if you're out inside in the coffee shop and you can see your car outside, you can visually see how long left you've got to charge by how full that bar is.
Oh, I like that. Again, it's just all very, like, it's kind of no-brainer stuff, isn't it, really? It's just the simplicity of it.
And people ask me, how do I know how long that car has to charge when I pull up beside it and I have to charge my car? And a lot of manufacturers now are putting this indicator, visual indicator on the outside so that people can say, oh, I know that car is nearly charged. So hopefully the driver will be along very shortly and let me into charge.
I like that. In terms of space in the back of the car and in the boot as well, does that space that you talked about in the front part of the car carry on through to the rest?
Massive. I'm 6'2", 187 centimetres in new money. And when I set the driver's seat to my height and adjustment, it's a cavern behind me. So I sit in the back seat and there's still inches or centimetres of space between my front of my legs and the driver's seat. And then behind that in the boot as well, it's a massive space in the boot for you to carry stuff from, whether that be scooters or luggage or kiddie stuff, pushchairs and prams, the weekly shop. It's absolutely huge. It's 543 litres.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds like a lot. Like, it sounds pretty
big. It's a lot.
Big.
So how many large suitcases are there? Probably 5 large, like big, big suitcases.
Oh, that's a big holiday. Oh, imagine going on a holiday. Derek, another question that I have that I'm always interested in when it comes to cars like this, that just, as I said at the top, it looks nice. It's electric. Very spacious, has good tech inside. Is there a specific target market for this, or is it just an all-round family car?
There will be a lot of company reps maybe buying this because it's coming in it's coming in underneath that €50,000 mark. So it starts at 36,000 and then will work up depending on the spec, but it comes in underneath that 50,000 threshold for the BIK, benefit in kind. And so what that means then, you if the company gives you this as a company car, because it's electric, so as much as it's families, and a lot of families will buy this, it may be the couple or the person that wants to go mountain biking or wants to go surfing. Like, there's a lot of space in this car. You can put a roof box on the top, you can put a you can tow stuff with it. Company reps, company directors that may not need that space but still want a high up, nice driving position, Jess, it is whisper quiet inside in it. Because there's obviously no engine and no vibration, but I've been in electric cars and the sound insulation wouldn't be great. But this thing, when you're driving along, you really can't hear anything. So whoever's listened now, and they're on the road here in Ireland now, so people that have got them are listening to us now on the radio, and they're listening just to us. They're hearing nothing else.
Lucky so-and-sos. It sounds great. So again, the full details of it, it is the, and I'm getting this right, the Volkswagen ID4, is that correct?
Correct, yeah. So the range is, so there's an ID3 that's out there already, and that's kind of a similar size to a Volkswagen Golf. It's not a Golf. It's the electric range from Volkswagen is going to be the ID. So 3, 4, and 5, and so on, dependent on the size. So this is the Volkswagen ID4, and there's different specs and different levels that are going to be available, and they're out in the marketplace at the moment.
Brilliant stuff. Well, thank you so much for that. Again, if you do want Derek to test out a car, do the homework so you don't have to email Tech Talk at newstalk.com, and we will do our best to get through as many of them as we can. But as always, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Jess.
If you want to see the car in action, the inside, the outside, how it drives and all the rest, Derek actually has a full video up on his YouTube channel. So just search for EV Review Ireland on YouTube and you will get it there. Coming up next here on News Talk, we'll hear from Folans about their new homework hub.